I'd like to read tonight just a few verses, three different places. First one in the book of Haggai. Book of Haggai. It's a little book. It's near the end of the Old Testament. It's easy to get it missed because you turn over two pages and there it was gone. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Sorry, chapter 3. Wherefore, drop down a line, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. Chapter 12. Verse 2. Looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who, in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself. thought that one has in one's heart is a very simple word. Consider. Consider. I want you tonight to really set yourself before and in the presence of God. Consider, first of all, yourself. Consider your ways. Where are we? Where am I? Where are you? I'm not necessarily confining the remarks to persons who know the Lord Jesus. This book was written to a remnant of Jews, faithful men who owned God. I'm applying them to you if you do not know that God. I'm also purposing in the will of the Lord to apply them to you if you do know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Consider your ways. What is it that is driving us today? What is it that is causing us, as living here in this world, what is it that is motivating our lives? For the people that Haggai wrote to, they were weary in their service. They had reached a point where the opposition of the enemy had caused them to sit back and sleep, to take themselves out of activity. Because they felt, what's the use? We're not making any headway. We've got all sorts of opposition. There is nothing that we can do. Is that where you are tonight? Are you one who is laboring, working all day, you got no peace? You are doing what you think is the right thing to do. You're building your house. You're satisfying the things that you like. And you are ignoring God, putting him to one side. Not tonight. Isn't that how it begins? You say it is not time. Not time. Is that how we are reacting to the Lord Jesus? What does the hymn writer say? Room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the world for which he died. Is that you? Is it me? How much are we really occupied with our blessed Lord? The one who gave himself for us. Consider your ways. We are very active in making sure that we have the things that we like around us. The things, the material blessings that the Lord graciously provides for us. Here in the Western world, we have, we might say, everything in a material sense. They're not short of anything. food, clothes, warmth, houses. But what have we of the Lord Jesus? Consider your ways. Have you ignored the urgings of your heart? Have you heard the Lord Jesus speaking to your conscience? You're on your way to a lost eternity. You're sitting in the same seat that you've sat in often. You've come to a conference. Perhaps you come here every week. I don't know everybody here. I know a good number. But it's 40 years since I lived here. Faces change. I was shocked to realize that there was a person I was speaking to. It was the same age as me. And I didn't think I could be that old. But what are you hiding behind? What is it that you have decided is more important than the Lord Jesus, than his claims on your life? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Have you? Or are you one of those who just pretends to be a Christian? You come along to the hall every week, the local gathering, wherever we are, and you just sit there, perhaps sing all the hymns, smile along with everyone else, like a niece of mine who said that when the preacher asked her as she left the hall, she could say all the right things. Thank God the Lord spoke to her 28 years later. And brought her to her knees. What a gracious God. And he's willing to do it for you tonight. Consider your ways. I've spoken for quite long enough on you. What is more important is the one I want to direct your attention to. Consider well him. We've looked at you. We've looked at the condition that you're in. We've realized where we stand before God. What we need to do now is see what God has done. We know what we've done. What has God done? What has he provided? Consider well him. In chapter 12, we are directed looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him well. I want us to look hard and long tonight at that one. That one who came from heaven's highest glory. We have been looking at something of him in the Bible readings thus far. We have seen how he came from Godhead's fullest glory. The Son of God coming in manhood into this world in order that God and all his beauty and character and love might be seen. In order that you and I may be brought into blessing before him. Consider him well. He came as a man here in this world. A lowly man, a very ordinary man. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. A man amongst men, walking here in this world, passing through the circumstances of life. We have heard this afternoon how he was weary with his journey. Not weary of his journey. That's very important. His journey was to take him to the cross. He wasn't weary of that. He was weary as he walked as a man. Oh, can we see him there at the well of Sychar, sitting at that well, having walked all the way from Judea to Sychar? Can we see him in the heat of the day, thirsty? A man, Son of God, fully man, there at Sychar's well. That man who went to see a woman who was in need. He's here tonight to meet your need. We can follow him. We can follow him to where we find him at the pool of Bethesda. Here is a man who cannot walk. Helpless. Cannot get into the water when he needs to. When the angel troubles the water, it's too late. He cannot make it. Not too late for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus comes into his circumstances, comes where he is, and meets that need. The man. That man goes on through John's gospel. We find him weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. Weeping because of the presence of sin and death. Weeping with Mary and with Martha. Oh, here is one who can reach every need that we have. He brings whatever is needed into your circumstances. And is willing and able to meet it. See that one. See that one in the garden with all the knowledge that he has of Calvary before him. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Can we see him in that condition? For you? For me? Consider him well. We see him before the high priest. And they slap him and beat him. They pull the hair from his face. They mock him. They scorn him. They take him to Pilate, a Roman governor. Bruised and beaten, scourged, and all of that to show forth his care for you and me. But all of that, say it reverently, was not sufficient. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to that hill called Calvary. There it was that he was nailed to a tree, hung between heaven and earth, and sitting down, they watched him there. They passed by, mocking, "My Savior." What do we hear him say? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Do you think those men didn't know what they were doing? They did not realize that he was their Savior, that he was the one sent from God to accomplish the work of redemption. "They know not what they do." And then we have those hours of darkness. Darkness covering the whole earth. We hear that cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a cry from the only man who didn't deserve to die. And it was there he died for you and for me. What a Savior. God poured out his judgment for sin on him. There he was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is where it happened. That is when it was accomplished. It is finished. What a shout of triumph. The work completed. A holy God satisfied on account of sin. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up his life. Consider him well. The leader, the originator, the one who began the whole faith system, the one who was the originator of it, that one, consider him well. He is also the finisher of it. He is the one who is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the one who from there says to you, whosoever will may come. It was from there that the Apostle Paul had that light shining into his soul. Lord, Lord, he is Lord. God hath made this same Jesus Lord and Christ. He is Lord. Don't let anyone mislead. He is your Lord. You may not have accepted that, but believe me, he is. He is Lord of all. He is absolutely supreme. There is coming a day when this world will see it. There is coming a time when every knee will bow. But tonight, it is an opportunity for you to bow that knee. For in that coming day, you will bow it. You will have no choice. Tonight, he says, come unto me. Consider him who is the apostle and high priest. We have seen him and how the work began. As the apostle and high priest, he is the one who has brought from God the message to man. The apostles, the foundation, bringing in the base upon which the system, the Christian system, I hate that word, the whole principle of gathering to him. He is the foundation of it all. He is the author. He is the one who has established all things. He is the apostle of and for God. He brings God here to man. As the high priest, he is there for me, for you. He is taking us, if we can so say it, into the presence of God. He is there to communicate our hearts and link them with himself and his Father. What sort of a salvation do we have? What is it that we have? The Lord Jesus himself connecting us with heaven. For that is exactly what happens. I am brought by the matchless love and grace of God into a place where I know a man in the glory of God. I am associated with that man. He has saved me from the consequences of my sin. He is keeping me during my sojourn here in this world, and shortly is coming to take me to be forever with himself. That's the salvation that is available tonight. Thank God most in this room are very sure and know it. Question is, are you? Consider your ways. This same Jesus is coming back. We have read of him as the one who is the completer of faith, the one who is the end, the beginning and the end. The one who has brought it all in, the one who will wind it all up and complete it. He completes it in part when he comes to take his own. The wonderful day when he will come into the air and there will be that mighty shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with him. Oh, are you ready for the day? Are you ready for it? If you're just ready for it, consider your ways. We're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be on the edge of our seats waiting for it to happen. Not just ready. And it's soon. He says himself, surely I come quickly. Oh, what a wonder. In his grace, he's waited 2,000 years. 2,000 years. A day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. And we've had 2 days. We've heard a lot about what happens on the third day, haven't we? It's right around the corner. When he shouts, will your ear hear him? My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Can you hear his voice? Have you heard his voice? If you haven't heard his voice, you are in deep trouble. because you are not only not looking for his return, but you are not ready for it. You need to know his voice. Have you heard his voice saying, follow me? And are you like the two disciples who followed? Or are you like the disciples who abandoned him when he was alone at the cross? Are we really following him? There is a day coming very soon, when he will come back to this world. I'm not talking about him coming into the air to take me to be with himself. I can speak for me. I cannot speak for you. He's coming to get me. But there is another day when he is coming back to reign. And he will bring with him all his saints. Here we have the wonderful answer to the shame of Calvary. When he was despised, rejected of men. Oh, what a day this will be. He'll come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will come as the one who will establish here in this world righteousness, peace. There will be an abundance of all that is needed. There will be no shortages. There will be no sickness. It will be absolute wonder. Something this world has never seen. Sin immediately dealt with. There will be absolute righteousness. And that will continue for 1,000 years. And I'll be with him when he comes. What a day. In that day, his own will have responsibility. We will have work to do. That is not the day of rest. Not at all. We will be responsible with him for the administration of this world. The extent to which we will administrate is earned now. It isn't earned in heaven. Rewards are given for service today. Not hopes in heaven. Oh, that we might be faithful. But you know, there's something beyond this world. This world, he's bringing it to an end. He is the beginning. He is the end. Then cometh the end. And all things handed to the Father. And then judgment. This world, this universe will be purged completely. Sin will be removed entirely. New heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And it brings us beyond the day of rest. It brings us into the day of eternity, when eternity takes over, not rest. I'm not sure what will happen then. I don't think anybody knows what will happen then. But what I am certain of, I'd be with him. I'd be like him. And I'd be able then to praise him as I ought. Again, I say, consider your ways. But more importantly, consider him. Put him before your vision. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Come now. Don't wait for the day when he will be lifted up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, you will appear then. But what a fearful judgment. I wonder if we could